I'm always thankful when God blesses us with another opportunity this side of eternity to assemble together in a fashion like this and worship Him in spirit and in truth. I'm thankful to see each and every one of you. I invite you to get your Bibles out and follow along with me. Make sure that what I'm saying is in harmony with the Word of God. The Bible is our standard, the Bible and the Bible alone. I contemplated between two sermons to present this morning. And I decided on the one that I wanted to preach, but yet I gave Ethan the scripture reading for the one that I decided not to preach. But Ethan, you did a great job. Appreciate the work that you're doing. But the scripture reading that fits this sermon is found in Acts chapter 8, and we're going to read verses 1 through 4. Acts chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. The Bible says, and Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hauling men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. If you mark in your Bible, you might want to underscore in verse 4 where the Bible says preaching the word. And then in verse 5 that Philip went to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. The only acceptable word to preach to others that will lead to the conversion of souls is when we preach Christ to them. But there's a lot that is included in that statement that Philip preached Christ unto them. And I know that's the case because when we continue the reading, the Bible says in verse 6 that the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that he himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And to him they had regard, because out of a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. Now notice verse 12. But when they believed Philip preaching, what did he preach? He preached the word. He preached Christ to them. But notice how verse 12 qualifies it. When they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. I want to talk with you for just a little while this morning about that phrase, and preached Christ unto them. We need to preach Christ among people today. I don't know how many sermons that I've listened to over time, as you have as well, and a lot of great resources are made available to us today as far as digitally. With just the push of a button or the tap of a screen, we can listen to an untold number of sermons. But I'll tell you that I've noticed, especially in recent years, that many of those sermons are filled full with all sorts of different things. And very few of them are centered on Christ and what the Bible says relative to Him and book, chapter, verse preaching. But people tell all sorts of fanciful stories and use all kinds of entertaining jokes and anecdotes and things of that nature. We've got to be careful with that. What will convert people today is the gospel of Christ. And so I want to talk to you for just a little bit about the fact that He preached Christ unto them and what that means. The first thing I want you to think about is when we preach Christ to people, we preach about the name of Christ. Is that not what the Bible says? When the Bible says that Philip went to the city of Samaria and he preached Christ unto them, and then in verse 12 when the Bible says that they believed Philip concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. Think about that. You know, sometimes individuals will charge us today or accuse us of saying, well, you folks teach about all sorts of things. You preach about everything but Christ and Him crucified. You preach about everything except the blood of Christ. Now, they can't accuse us and be honest about that at Mill Street. Now, anyone ever wants to look at that, we're happy to make available to them a nice list of the sermons that we present here. And we make those available online. We preach more than just those things specifically. Yes, the blood of Christ is important. We know that we can't have the forgiveness of our sins without the shed blood of Christ. And everything else that we can put our finger on in the sacred text of God is important. And we need to be busy about preaching those things. I've had individuals tell me from 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 2. And they'll say, now, Donnie, the Bible says that Paul determined not to know anything among them except Christ and Him crucified. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and in verse 2. Well, I give a hearty amen to that. The Bible says that. Paul says, I determined not to know anything among you except Christ and Him crucified. But folks, that doesn't mean that Paul got before these people and just simply preached that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again and never did any other teaching. Well, Donnie, how do you know that's the case? Well, look at the epistle. Look at the letter in which 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 2 is found in. And see if Paul preached by means of that epistle any other teaching. And you'll find all sorts of things that you can write down on a list of things that Paul preached to them, that he talked to them about. But I'll give you something that's even more telling than that. In the book of Acts, chapter 18, we have the divine record of these people's conversion. The people to whom Paul wrote that letter to. Acts chapter 18. Paul came to Corinth. And the Bible then talks about Aquila. It talks about Priscilla. In verse 8, and Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house. And many other Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. You think Paul preached to them anything other than the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ? You think there's some other things included in that? What about baptism? What about repentance? What about confessing their faith in Christ? What about the kingdom? What about Christian living? Now, he wrote that letter and admonished them to live as God would have them to live and to do away with some things that they had been guilty of. But I want you to think about that. When Philip went down to the city of Samaria and he preached Christ unto them, he talked to them about who Christ was, who He is, who Jesus is. And again, as I pointed out in Bible classes, that's not just simply to say that there was a man whose name was Jesus. There was a lot more included in it than just that. And He preached Him unto them. We understand that Jesus coexisted with the Father. We've been studying about that on Sunday morning. By the way, those who are members here, if you've not been attending that Bible study, you need to come, if at all possible, and learn about the things that we've been studying about. Wednesday night too. And be encouraged along those lines. God made man, Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. In His likeness, breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And yet the Lord said that He was before the foundation of the world. And we read that in a number of places that we've been pointed out. John 1, 1 through 14 and John 8. Verse 58, that He was before Abraham. We also read in John chapter 17 and in verse 5 about the fact that Jesus was before John the Baptist, before Abraham, and so forth. And by the way, in the record of the transfiguration that's recorded in Matthew chapter 17, when Peter got the bright idea that it would be a good idea in his eyes to make three tabernacles, one for Elijah, one for Moses, and one for Christ. Remember what the voice said out of the cloud? This is My Son, hear ye Him. And we could say a lot about that. We know that the Word is eternal. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. And so we need to teach people about that. About that aspect of who Jesus was. But there's a lot of other things that individuals need to know relative to Jesus. They need to understand that Jesus came to save people from their sins. Remember that? Matthew chapter 1 verse 21. A Savior is born, the Bible records. Jesus was gone to save people from their sins. Matthew chapter 5 and in verse 17. That Jesus is a fulfillment of those Old Testament prophecies in the Sermon on the Mount when He said, "Think not that I'm come to destroy, I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill." That Jesus, again, came to seek and to save that which was lost. Luke chapter 19, verse 10. I already talked to you in the Bible class about John's statement of John chapter 1, verse 29. That Jesus is the one that would take away the sins of the world. That it's Jesus who shed His blood on the cross for the remission of man's sins. According to Matthew 26 and in verse 28. When we teach Jesus to people, do we teach them those things? Do we preach those things to people when we teach them about Christ? Or do individuals say, "Well, I obeyed the gospel of Christ and I didn't know that. I didn't know that's why Jesus came." What were they taught? Here in Acts chapter 8, when Philip preached Christ unto them, we know from the divine record that he preached the name of Christ. And there's a lot that falls under that. And we need to get busy teaching that to others. That Jesus fulfilled all that the Father had sent Him for, according to John chapter 4 and verse 34. His meat was to do the will of Him who sent Him, and He finished it. John chapter 19 and in verse 30. And as a result of what Jesus did, we have the forgiveness of our sins. And a lot of other references talk about that. Hebrews chapter 2 and in verse 9. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2, when the Bible talks about the fact that Jesus is a propitiation for our sins and not for ours only, John would pen, but for the sins of the whole world. And Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Do we teach people about all the things that are made available in Christ? I made a list of those on the board a few sermons back. That when we are in Christ, the things that we have, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 1, we have all spiritual blessings in Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, we're a new creature when we're in Christ. Paul penned to those of Galatia, Galatians 3, 26 through 28, that we are the children of God by faith when we are in Christ Jesus. And so we need to be teaching people that. But we also need to teach them about that eternal reward before we move on to the second point. When the Lord would say in Matthew chapter 11, 28 through 30, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls." People need to know that. And they need to know what benefits there are to obey the Lord, as opposed to obeying the devil and living for him and being lost in the afterwhile. When they heard the preaching of Philip concerning the name of Jesus. Again, I ask you the question, when we preach to others, what are we preaching? I'm convinced that while so many people obey the gospel and then in a short period of time to come they fall away, that's not always the fault of the person that taught them. But sometimes it may be that they weren't taught what they needed to know. And then they weren't grounded in those things when they obeyed the gospel of Christ. But the second thing I want you to think about is that when He preached Christ unto these people, He preached the kingdom to them. Is that not what the text says in Acts chapter 8? Go back and look at that. In Acts chapter 8 verse 12, when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God. I ask you the question, did He do any teaching to these people concerning the church? Concerning the kingdom. I understand that that's not always interchangeable. I mean, sometimes it is. Sometimes it isn't. The context will determine whether He's talking about the church or not. But we need to teach people about the church of the Bible today. Our neighbors will not hear that elsewhere. Someone says, "Well, I learned about the church of the Bible attending a denomination. I challenge you on that point. The denominational world won't teach you about the church of the Bible. They may teach you about a church, but their church and what they think about the church, I should say, their thinking, their ideology about the church is a skewed ideology. Folks, if they taught the truth about the Lord's church, they wouldn't be where they are. You agree with that statement? If they believed what the Bible says concerning the church of the Bible, they wouldn't wear the titles that they wear. So you don't hear about the Lord's church in churches of men. You hear about the Lord's church among the Lord's people when the book of God is open and that church is talked about and preached in its simplicity. And we need to teach people that today. As a matter of fact, our young people need to be taught the difference between the church of the Bible, the church of Christ, and the churches established and built by men. I did a sermon on that not long ago. Teach my people the difference. Remember that sermon? We talked about that in that sermon. So we need to teach people about the kingdom. Jesus said, upon this rock I will what, Lord? Build my church. Not build the church of Donnie Oliver or any other church. He never promised to build or endorse any other. But he promised to build his church. And then he says in verse 19, he calls it the kingdom. And you're familiar with that passage. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 23 and 38, he talks about the kingdom. Then he talks about the church, verses 23 rather than verse 28. The kingdom was a fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. We just spent almost an hour on that on our Thursday evening class. We just finished the study on the kingdom. And we looked at how the kingdom, the church, is a fulfillment of all those Old Testament prophecies that we read about. Isaiah chapter 2, verses 2 through 5. Okay, back up to 1 through 5. Joel chapter 2, verses 28 through 32. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 44. Need to write those down and study those things. Because in Acts chapter 2, when the apostles were gathered together on the day of Pentecost and the Holy Spirit fell upon them, the apostles, and they began to speak with other languages as the Spirit gave them utterance, and that caused great marvel, amazement among those Jews that had left about 13 nations to tarry in the city of Jerusalem and be there for that occasion, that feast day. The Bible says that some of them marveled while others mocked and said that these men are drunken. They're full of new wine. Remember what Peter stood up and said, these are not drunken as you suppose, and it is but the third hour of the day, but this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel, that it shall come to pass in the last days, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and so forth and so on. And so Peter points them back to Joel's prophecy of Joel chapter 2, verses 28 through 32, and says, this is that which Joel prophesied. And he preached to them about Christ, about his life, reasoned with him out of the Old Testament scriptures, and laid the guilt squarely where it belonged on their shoulders. Verse 36. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that this same Jesus which you have taken and crucified, God hath raised and making him Lord and Christ. When they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, verse 37, and wanted to know what they had to do. And Peter told them to repent and be baptized. That's exactly what the Lord had stated in Luke chapter 24, that repentance and remission of sins would be preached in His name among all nations beginning at Jerusalem. By the way, that goes back to Isaiah's prophecy in Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Do we preach that to others? Do we preach to others what the Lord Himself will add them to when they obey the gospel of Christ? You think that's important for them to know that, by the way? In Acts 2:47, the Bible says that those that had obeyed, that the Lord had added them to His church, added them to the church, daily such as should be saved. You think that those to whom we are preaching and that we are teaching needs to know that? Evidently so, Philip preached it to them. As he preached concerning the kingdom. Peter preached it to them. And folks, we need to be busy about doing that today. Don't let it ever be the case that we have taught someone, hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized, they do that, to raise to walk in newness of life, and then you talk to them and say, now come back with us. Well, son, I don't, what do you mean come back and be with you on Sunday? I don't believe in all that church thing. Because they've never been taught. Or, no, I won't come back and go with you. I attend somewhere else. I don't believe that it makes a difference where you attend. You think they need to learn that before they obey the gospel of Christ? You think they need to know to what institution the Lord is adding them to? Evidently so. We have scripture for that. And we need to get busy doing that today. The third thing I want you to think about from that very basic passage is something that many times maybe we overlook. Notice that he says again in verse 12, when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized. Both men and women. Now it's not the subject of this sermon, but I've got underscored in my Bible, both men and women. You need to mark that down and understand that he didn't say infants, toddlers, and so forth. Both men and women. People who could perceive and understand the things that were spoken and knew what they were doing because they believed it. They obeyed it when they were baptized. But I ask you the question, how did they know anything about that? I thought we were supposed to only teach about Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I agree with you. But folks, we need to understand that when we teach about Jesus and Him crucified, we've got to teach about how to become a Christian. And He preached that to them. They learned about obedience to the gospel of Christ because of the preaching that that Philip had done. Sometimes individuals may say, you know what, I get tired of hearing about that plan of salvation. I get tired when the preacher puts that up there and ends every sermon with that. How do you respond to that? Maybe people do get tired of that. Do you ever think about that? Maybe they do. I know that to be the case because I've had individuals tell me that in the past. Oh, it's not appropriate. And so I don't know. I hope you don't get tired of that. But if you get tired, take rest because you're going to continue to hear it. Not only from me, but I'm convinced from these other ones as well. People need to know how to obey the gospel of Christ. And they need to know what to do when they get up here. You know, sometimes we end an invitation by saying, if you have a need, come forward. What do you do when you come forward? Think about that. Suppose someone is in the pew and they're contemplating whether to obey the gospel of Christ or not. They hear a message. And they've never heard it before. And they're sitting there and they're thinking to themselves, today is the day that I'm going to become a Christian. Now they don't know what to do to become a Christian. They've never heard it before. And the preacher is standing there and he says, if we can help you in any way, make your way forward right now. Well, what do they do when they get here? They don't know. Now, I don't say that in a way of chastisement. I say that in a way if we need to think about that. There's people here today, I'm convinced, maybe never obeyed the gospel of Christ. You need to know that. When we're teaching our neighbors and we teach people in a Bible class, whether it's in our home or here at the building or elsewhere, they need to know that. Because when you get to the end of the lesson and you ask them, are you ready to obey? Surely they know what they need to do to obey if we've taught them that. They need to know that. And by the way, the only way to become a Christian, you've heard this before, right? Is to hear the gospel, Romans 10:17. Folks, you need to write that in your Bible or put it in your mind or write it in whatever book it is you write things in if you don't have that memorized. If you're a Christian, you've obeyed that. You've done that, but you need to be able to teach that to others, and so do I. Philip did. They heard it, they believed it, and were baptized. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the gospel, right? By the word of God. Romans 10:17. We've got to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. John 8:24. Repent of our sins. Luke 13:3. And a host of other passages. And listen, you don't have to use the same passages at every time you teach someone that. There's plenty of passages. Not just one. You don't have to hang it all on one. But even if it was just mentioned one time, that'd be good enough. Repent of our sins. Luke 13:3. Confess our faith in Christ that He's the Son of God. Matthew 10:32-33, and be baptized for the remission of our sins. I'm convinced that that's what Philip preached to those individuals, how to obey the gospel of Christ, because they obeyed it. And so when he went to Samaria, he preached Christ to them. He preached to them about who Jesus was, what he accomplished. He preached to them about the kingdom and the church, and folks, he told them what to do in order to be saved. And that's what we need to teach people today. If not, what else are you going to teach them? Remember, as the Bible talks about the disciples, that so many of them turned and went back and walked no more with the Lord. Remember that passage? John 6:66, beginning. Many of them went back and they walked no more with the Lord, and he turned and he looked at him and he said, "Will you also go away?" Remember how they responded to that? "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." So I ask you again, when we preach Christ to people, what are we preaching? And there's a lot more that you could probably add to that. But people need to know what is necessary to obey the gospel of Christ, that the Lord will add them to His church, that you read about on the pages of the Bible. And then they need to be grounded, taught how to walk the Christian life. And that's what he did. And I suggest to you this morning that if you're here and you've never done that, you need to do that. You know what the result of all that was? All that labor and endeavor in the book of Acts? As they began in Acts chapter 2 to preach the gospel of Christ, and they continued to do that, Acts chapter 5 verse 42, and continued even when they were persecuted and scattered to continue to do that, Acts chapter 1 and so forth. Notice what the result of that was. We already talked about those that were added to the church when they obeyed, but notice Acts chapter 4 and verse 4. "Howbeit many of them which heard the word," what did they hear? I suggest to you they heard what those on the day of Pentecost heard. "They believed. And the number of the men was about 5,000. What do you think about it? Nearly 3,000 about, I don't know how many, give or take, on the day of Pentecost, obeyed the gospel of Christ. Here the Bible says about 5,000 obeyed the gospel of Christ. Notice, if you will, in chapter 5, verse 14. "And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women." Chapter 6 and in verse 7. "The word of God increased and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith." In Acts chapter 9 and in verse 31. "Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied." I know that at times it can be discouraging when individuals will not heed the invitation, or they will not obey when you have poured your heart out to them to teach them the gospel. But folks, listen, the only word that will convert people here in London, Kentucky is the same thing that converted people in the first century. Now, I don't think that you are, and I know that I am not, about to change what the Bible says to appease anybody or any group of individuals. We need to continue to preach what the Bible says. And when it falls on honest and good hearts, guess what will be the result? People will obey. But we've got to get the seed out of the barn and into the soul and the hearts and minds of men. And that's just not my endeavor. It's not just a few endeavor, but it's each and every single one of us. So I ask you the question, what are you preaching when you preach Christ? Are you preaching what the Bible says to do in order to do that? I appreciate your good attention this morning. I gave you the gospel plan of salvation. And folks, if you believe that, you need to repent of your sins. Confess your faith in those present this morning. We'll immerse you into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Why delay? Why spurn the invitation? You know that there is a hell to gain and a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. So why not obey? Maybe you're here. And your condition is that you have obeyed, but you turn back into the ways of the world. You backslid, began to be unfaithful to God. You're not living right, and you realize you're not. Why not repent of those things? Make confession to God in prayer, and we'll pray with you and for you. If you're subject to the gospel call, we bid you come.